Let's pray as we begin. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. If we are feeling like shrinking back from you, Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us so that we can believe and continue until Christ returns or we go to meet him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When? We want to know, don't we? When will the schools be back? When will the pubs be open? When can we go on holiday? Many of us are struggling in all sorts of different ways with the lockdown. Perhaps you're struggling with homeschooling and you've got a little bit of relief now that it's half term. Perhaps you're struggling with sitting around doing nothing, bored with it. Maybe you'll be made redundant. Maybe you're on furlough from work. There's nothing to do. Endless days of Zoom. Perhaps you're struggling with that. I'm not a cat, you say to everyone. I'm not a cat, nor am I just a face on a screen. Perhaps you're a weary frontline worker. We want the government or someone to give us some concrete certainty, don't we? A date, something sure to hold on to. Whether that is actually realistic and possible because of the nature of the pandemic is another matter. I wonder if we yearn similarly for concrete certainty with our faith in Jesus. Show yourself, Lord, maybe we think sometimes. Give me something solid to hold on to. And we long for something like that. Seeing is believing, they say, and that resonates in our minds. In fact, that's what Thomas said, isn't it? Thomas, the disciple of Jesus, when his friends had seen the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, effectively he said, seeing is believing. But once he'd actually seen Jesus, the Lord Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Is seeing believing? Or is it possible to believe without seeing? And in fact, is actually faith about not seeing at all yet? Today we come back to the book of Hebrews. We left it in June last year at the end of chapter 10, which I read out and prayed from at the beginning of this sermon just now. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We're not confident in the government, maybe. What about the Lord? We want some visible sign of the pandemic ending. Can we cope when the Christian faith is about something that's invisible? Hebrews 11 says to us, yes, God is invisible. Yes, the hope that Jesus promises is not yet seen. But both of these are a solid foundation for us in these troubling and weary times. So let's look at verses 1 to 3. And let's believe in the invisible God. Believe in the invisible God. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what is not visible. Was not made out of what is visible. Same point. Now, why are we talking about faith here in Hebrews 11? Well, it's because the writer is writing to struggling Christians about Jesus and the good news that comes with the Lord Jesus. And he's saying to them, look, this good news about Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Bible truths that you all know about. Most of his listeners were probably Jewish people. And he's saying this is the fulfillment of God's plans. And so it's actually better than those plans and supersedes them. And so if you hold on to Jesus, you're doing something even better than holding on to the Old Testament ways. You know the temple and the law and the rituals, he says to them, how great they were. Well, they were all pointing to Jesus. He's fulfilled them. His rescue by death, dying on the cross, that was fulfilled. The fulfillment of the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifices. And because of that, there's a promised inheritance. Remember how Moses and Abraham had a promised inheritance? Jesus gives us that, his rescue as the Son of God. And we have the kingdom of God to look forward to. Kingdom of God, which we might call, across the story of the Bible, God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. And so the writer says, keep trusting in Jesus. Hold on to him. And that's where he is now in chapter 11. Hold on. Faith, he says, is believing in something that is not a thing that you do and feel and is concrete, like this pulpit I'm standing in. It's not solid and tangible like rituals and temples. No, faith is about something you can't see, but it is exactly how you are saved by Jesus. So what is faith? Faith, verse 1, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's trusting the invisible God for his invisible promises, his promises about things that are invisible. The writer shows his readers and us here that that's always part of the picture. Faith has always been there for the great heroes of faith. The spiritual heroes of the Old Testament, faith was what they were about. This invisible, faith in something invisible. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. So what do we hope for? What do we not see? Well, in Hebrews, it's described as a promised eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15, he says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through these, comparing Jesus with the Old Testament sacrifices, and Jesus' death on the cross. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he, Jesus, has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. There's a wonderful promise of this eternal, promised eternal inheritance, freedom from sin through Jesus' death. Jesus' death, the ultimate sacrifice that is better than and fulfills the purpose of all the Old Testament sacrifices. So what is it that we hope for that we don't see? Well, it is this promised eternal inheritance. And it comes through Jesus and his death. It's forgiveness today. We don't see that, do we? Can't see it. I'm looking around. I see some people in church here. Can't tell if they're forgiven or not. We can't see it. But it's promised by the Lord Jesus. New life with him, with the Spirit in our lives. It's invisible. But it's promised and achieved by what Jesus has done. And in the future, a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. We're all changed, all better. Sin removed completely. And be able to see him face to face. Completely invisible for now. That's what is promised. The promised eternal inheritance. Can I see forgiveness? No. You can see the historical record of Jesus' death and resurrection and all that Jesus did to go with that. We can see that explained through the whole Bible. We can see the faithful and trustworthy God through that. So we know that there's a solid foundation for what we've been told about. The actual forgiveness itself, it's invisible. Based on some really good solid facts. But it's invisible. Can we see the new creation? Well, again, we can see the story of the whole Bible working out towards it. And going towards it. And we can see stages that were promised being fulfilled. Because God is powerful and God is faithful. But can we see the ultimate new creation? Not yet. Not yet. We can see the first creation, the writer says, by faith, verse 3, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. You see, God can do it, but we haven't seen what he's going to do yet. We trust what he has done in order to trust what he We see what he has done so that we can trust what he will do. It's actually invisible, but faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, this is a fundamental of Christianity. It's a fundamental part of it. So don't be surprised, please. And please don't be embarrassed about it either. Perhaps you're someone watching this and you're investigating Christianity. Well, look, we're dealing with spiritual truth and reality. We're dealing about things that you can't see. And it's just like science, really. Science, not everything is visible in science. You can't see the influence of gravity. You can't see the power of the wind. You can't see the effect of a vaccine, the working of a vaccine, rather. And so with Jesus, there's so much that is visible, but much is invisible. Much is invisible. Perhaps you are a believer. You've been a believer a long time. And sometimes you just wish that you had a sign, some sort of something you could see concrete now. Look, catch yourself on. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And remember Jesus' words to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So with Jesus, much is invisible. Believe in the invisible God. And, verses 4-7, in that, believe in his promise of invisible righteousness. So here we're introduced to Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And these are, like in verse 2, these are the ancients who are commended for their faith. And Abel, Enoch, and Noah turn up in the book of Genesis in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And they're heroes of the Old Testament. So the writer's hearers would go immediately, oh yeah, Abel, oh yeah, Enoch, oh yeah, Noah. Now, Abel and Enoch, I haven't got a lot of time to dive into this now, so I'm not going to be able to say much about them. But Noah, you've heard of, yes? Each of these heroes, each of them trusted in the invisible God and his promises. And each of them acted on that, despite what everyone around them was saying. So they trusted the invisible God and his promises, and each of them was commended by God for that, the writer says here. Their faith meant that they were in the right with God. He says that three times, one for each of them. So what about, let's say, Noah here? Noah and his ark, famously. By faith, Noah, this is verse 7, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. You see, Noah was told that the whole world was going to be flooded out of God's judgment. That was an invisible future. He looked around him and it didn't look like the world was being flooded. He built this massive boat and everyone was laughing at him and it wasn't raining even, perhaps. He was probably miles from the sea. But he trusted God for that invisible future, and because of that, he and his family were saved. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Now, we then are to, because of them, believe in the same way in God's promise of invisible righteousness. You see, here's the point, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, God is invisible, but he's there. How can you please him if you don't believe in him? If you don't believe he's there, he's not going to be very happy about that. So there's a sort of a basic point to it, but there's more than that. And the point he's making here through these three, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, is that actually God gives his righteousness to people who believe in him. But left to our own devices, we're not good enough, we're not right with God enough, but God gives righteousness to them. So Abel, verse 4, he's commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. Enoch is commended in verse 5 as having pleased God. So he's seen by God as being righteous. Noah, we're told, is the heir of, end of verse 7, the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. He gets righteousness by believing. And this is the promise of the rest of the book of Hebrews. So it's not by chance that he's mentioning these three here like this. The book of Hebrews is about the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus. We trust in Jesus. God gives us being right with God, being right with him. It is a bit like getting the COVID vaccine. When you get the COVID vaccine, you get a pinprick in your arm, and that's it. And maybe you have a sore arm for a day or two, or maybe you wake up the next day feeling a bit flu-y, but otherwise, well, there's no difference, is there? There you are, walking around. You've had the vaccine, and, well, it's invisible. Did it work? We're putting our faith in something that's invisible. The scientific studies tell us, and you've got to read these, they do. The scientific studies tell us, yes, it works, and no, it's not dangerous. So if you're wondering about whether to take the vaccine, please do, as long as you're someone who's asked by your doctor, etc. But here's the thing. You can't see it, but it's there, working, doing its job. And it's like that with our faith in God. We put our trust in him, and then he gives us his righteousness by his promise, and we can't see it, but it's there. And so we have a relationship with him because of that and because of Jesus. So how do we receive righteousness from God? By trusting in the Lord. And God looks at rebels like you and me and he says, yes, you're right in my sight. And the rest of the book of Hebrews tells us this is because Jesus himself has died on the cross in our place. And by trusting in Jesus, we can receive that gift of his death for us. Believe in his promise of invisible righteousness. So believe in the invisible God, believe in his promise of invisible righteousness, and believe in his promise of the invisible coming kingdom. Verses 8 to 16. Here we get Abraham and Sarah, and all sorts of evidence of their faith, all sorts of ways that they were confident in what they hoped for and assured about what they did not see. Verse 1. So verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God made the promise to him. He couldn't see it. He believed. Faith. Verse 9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. 4. He was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So he went to the promised land, but even then he stayed in tents, the writer is saying, because he knew there was something more that God was going to give. Couldn't see it, but it had been promised. He was sure about that hope and what he couldn't see. Verse 11, Sarah. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, that's Abraham, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. See, Sarah considered him faithful who had made the promise. Not Abraham, God had promised to her that she would have a son. And she considered him faithful. Couldn't see it. Didn't seem reasonable, maybe. But she trusted the Lord for what she couldn't see. So in all sorts of ways, they are, verse 1, aren't they? They're confident in what they hope for. They had assurance about what they couldn't see on the basis that it was God making the promises. And there's this great thing here about being looking forward to a better country, and because of that, being foreigners and strangers now. And they really were looking forward to another country, the writer says. It wasn't just the promised land of Canaan they were looking for, but a heavenly country that was coming. Verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they're looking for a country of their own. Now Abraham in Genesis 23 verse 4 actually says that. He says, I'm a foreigner here. So he knows that his real country is somewhere else. And the writer is saying that somewhere else is the heavenly country that they're looking forward to. They have got hope in what they don't see and confidence in it. And so they're models for us as we read this. He's saying, look what they were like. Be like this too, believers in Jesus, you and me. Look ahead to that invisible kingdom that Jesus has promised us. And because of that, see ourselves now as being strangers and foreigners here in this world. Verse 15. If they had been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had the opportunity to return. So Abraham could have turned around and gone back to Ur, but he doesn't do that, does he? Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's wonderful, isn't it? A bit like coming back from France on a ferry. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's the end of a holiday, and you've got a ticket booked for a ferry back in those good old days when you could do that. And you're queuing at the French port, and there's absolutely no sign of what's going on at all, but you know you've got the ticket. You know that sometime at the end of this day, or maybe tomorrow, you'll be on a ferry and going back to Dover. And it takes hours, doesn't it? The queue moves very slowly. The time your ferry was supposed to be there has come and gone, because this is a ferry from France. But eventually you're on it. While you're waiting, you thought it would never happen, but then you're on the ferry, and then you're in Dover, and then you're driving home. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, we sometimes look at our watches and say, when's it going to happen, as it were? When is he coming? When is he coming? But there's going to be a day when we'll be looking back and saying, oh yeah, here he is. Oh, I'm with him now. All that waiting, it was worth it. Believe in his promise of the invisible coming kingdom. Are you looking forward to the better country, the heavenly city? Are you living today like a stranger here because you've got a better country coming? This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. And you say to me, but David, I can't see it. I can't see this kingdom you're talking about. And no, you can't. That's part of the deal that we're given with the Lord Jesus. But look, God is faithful. We, like Sarah, can trust the one who makes the promise. And just like Abraham and Sarah, we can see that proved in the end. They prove it for us, and we will see it proved ourselves. And we've seen, in fact, even in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, how God has the power to do what he promises and fulfill it. So no, we can't see the coming kingdom for now, but we can trust God for it. And that is part of what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith is about the invisible God and his invisible promises, or his promises about invisible things. But the nature of God and his promises mean that he and his promises are a sure and solid foundation for us, even in these weary and troubling times that we're in now. Can we be assured about God and what he promises? Can we be confident in his promise of righteousness and a coming kingdom, a better country? Well, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Sarah and Abraham all say, yes, yes, yes. Believe in the invisible God. Believe in his promise of invisible righteousness. Believe in his promise of the invisible coming kingdom. Have confidence in what you hope for in Jesus. Be assured of what you do not yet see. Let's pray. Thank you for this reminder, Heavenly Father, that we are people of faith. And thank you for the solid things that we have to stand on and remind us that you are a sovereign God who is faithful. Thank you for your word and the account of your dealings with your people. Thank you for all that we see in the history of the life of Jesus. And as we look at the things that are invisible, as it were, that promised righteousness that you give, and the life now forgiven with the Spirit in our lives, and that better country to come with Jesus, we thank you that we can trust you for these things. Strengthen our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.